Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Gimel, says V'nakumu V'nale Beisel V'es Hashem Mizbeach. Yaakov says he's going to make a Mizbeach L'keil Ha'oina Oisi B'yoyim Tzorosi, to Hashem who answered me on the day of my troubles. V'ahi Imodi, and he was with me. There's a very interesting Malbim over here that he says, he quotes the Chavis Halvavis. He says it's a chesaron in people, in their avodas Hashem, when they come to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu with something, for a chesed that was done for them in the past, very often their thank you is not even really a thank you. There's something missing in the thank you. The whole purpose of their thank you is that really what they're doing is they're requesting for the future. They really want to get something else from Hashem. So they're making out to thank you, but deep down, what is it? Please, give me more. That is not a real thank you, he says. And he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk over here is, that Yaakov over here is doing a thank you, a real, an emissar thank you, for the nisim that happened to him. Now I have to tell you, I'm not clear in the pasuk where the Malbim sees this chavis avavis. But the yisoid is a very important yisoid. The purpose of saying thank you isn't to remind your grandparents to give you money next time again. That is not the purpose of it. And on this subject of thank you, some of you I mentioned to you, I heard a beautiful pshat from a Yerushalayim Meshulach who I gave a ride to. But I'll mention first a maisa that you may have heard before. One time at the Kosel, there was a yid, I think his name was Mr. Fuhrer, who was the head of some type of medical organization in Eretz Yisrael. He was together with a big philanthropist, a tremendous Baal Tzedakah. They're both at the Kosel, and they see a yid there who's crying and crying away, crying uncontrollably, copious tears. And these people look at each other. They see the kavan of this yid. And Mr. Fuhrer says to his friend, listen, let's go and see how we can help him. If it's a medical issue, I'll help him with it. If it's paranoia, you'll help him out with it. Let's see what we can do for him. So he said, okay. They made the deal. They went over to the man. And they said, what is it? What do you need in life? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't need anything. So they said, what were you crying? Why were you crying so much over here? So he said, what do you mean, why was I crying? He said, I just married off my youngest child, and I was coming to give her door to thank the Ribbono Shel'olam for what he has done for me. And they were so impressed by it. And what bothers me about this story is, we're all impressed by it. What are we impressed about? Isn't it poshut? Isn't it that's how it should be? And this fits very good with the vod, the Yerushalayim Yid told me. A person has a tzara, and he dumps the Ribbono Shel'olam, please help me, a person's sick, mebuch. And he asks someone, he asks the Ribbono Shel'olam to give him a refuah shleima. And Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hears his tefillahs, he gets better. So an Erech Yid, he goes now, and he dumps to Hashem to thank him for that refuah shleima. Which of those two tefillahs are more intense, more real, more kavana? The one at the time he had a tzara and he was lucky to be saved, or the thank you afterwards? Most people, it's the tefillah beforehand, not the tefillah afterwards. So he said, that's what it says, bas kuf ke bas chof. Bas kuf is kapital mizmer seida. The thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ke bas chof, has to be like kapital chof in Tehillim. Kapital chof is, the Lam Naseh, we say, yan Hashem b'yoyim tzara. Hashem should answer us when we have tzaras. The bas kuf, that thank you should be at least as intense, with as much kavana, as the one when we're davening for the Yeshua. Okay, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, Al kein therefore, lo yoichlu v'nei Yisrael eskid hanoshe, asher al kef hayorech ad hayom hazeh, ki noga b'chaf yerech Yaakov b'gid hanoshe. This is the issa to eat gid hanoshe. The Das Kainim explains, why were Klal Yisrael given this issa? I think he says two pshatim. One of the pshatim he says is, Al sha'osu b'nei Yisrael shloi kohegan. The children of Yaakov did something wrong over here. They let Yaakov go back alone. And because of that, he was attacked. They should have been melaveh him. They should have gone with him. And because they didn't go with him, he got injured in the Gid Hanoshe. And therefore, Klal Yisrael forever were asked now to eat the Gid Hanoshe as a reminder of what was done wrong then. We should be careful in these and yonim. There's a baratosis which is written on a Torah, which they ask a kasha. The Gemara says, "Ein begidin benois and tam." There's no taste in the gedanosha. So we were given an issa to eat the gedanosha. Big deal, it's also to eat. Has no taste. So we're not losing anything if we don't eat it. So what's the big deal in the issa? It's the baratosis answer. There's a halacha in Yoredea that says that afilu be'elef, even in 1,000, ain't a bottle. The gedanosha is not bottled in, even one in 1,000. Why? Because it's a barrier to complete, it's a whole being. If a gedanosha gets mixed up in something else, we're going to have to lose the rest of the pot. So that's why it's going to affect us, that the gedanosha is also. That's Tosa's answer to the kasha. The problem with the teretz is that issa is only an issa drabonon, not a deraisa. So the kasha comes back. Who cares if we can't eat the gedanosha? There's no taste in it. So I'll tell you a fascinating pshat. The issa in the gedanosha wasn't the fact that we can't eat it. You're right, it has no taste. The issa in the gedanosha is the fact that you have to take it out. It is very complicated. There's tremendous skills in nikur, and it's a very hard job, a big tircha, to take it out. That was the knas of the gedanosha. And this teaches us a yesod in life. The sons of Yaakov didn't go back with him. They let him go alone. Why? They didn't bother. They didn't do something which was a tircha. It was a tircha, and they didn't bother with a tircha. What happened because they didn't want to do a tircha? The Klai Yisrael got a knas. Forever and ever, we have this huge tircha. Now we have a tircha that we have to always take out the gedanosha. It's a tremendous tircha. What do we see from this? That sometimes we want to save ourselves bother. And we'll avoid doing a mitzvah because of bother. And you think the Rabbi Shalom is going to let you get away with it? That bother you saved yourself. It's going to be much worse than that. A person leaves Seder early. Why? Because he leaves 5 minutes early. Now he can get a ride. Later on, it'll be more complicated for him. But now he can get a ride. Maybe he'll have to walk a little bit later. Now he gets a ride all the way, door to door. So that is saving tircha. So what does he think? He's saving those 5 minutes of tircha. He's going to get away with it. The Ribbono Shel Olam later on can cause a much bigger tircha. You don't gain anything by trying to avoid a mitzvah because of tircha. The one before, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayhi B'Tzeis Nafsho, Ki Meso, Vatikra Shmoy Ben Oini, Va'oviv Kor Lo Binyamin. Yaakov called his son Binyamin. The Torah doesn't tell us the reason why he's called Binyamin. The other sons we see always reasons given. Here we don't see a reason why. Rashi says a pshat in Sefer Kiddush Yitzchak, says a pshat like this. The Gemara in Brachas Samach Aleph says, "Shtei kloyos yesh be'odam." A person has two kidneys. One pushes him to the good. One is miyayitz him for the bad. Doesn't say which is which. But Pasha Pshat is that the right one, Lev Chochem Bimin, Velev Ksil Bismoil. That the kidney on the right side is the Yetzer Tov, and the one on the left side is pushing you to bad, is the Yetzer Ra. The Pasuk says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid. You put Hashem in front of your waist. Ki mi mini balemoit. From the right, I'll never turn. Meaning that way my right kidney will always put me in the right direction. If I remember, there's Rabbeinu Shlom in front of me. That's when Shulchan Aruch writes the first sif. It's Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Samid, is a Klal Gadol B'Teira. That will keep you always going towards the right, towards doing the right thing. The Gemara in Bava Basri, Yud Zayin, says, there are four people who never would have died. The only reason they died is B'Toya Shal Nochash, because the Nochash caused Adam and Chava to do a chet, and that brought death into the world. But they themselves didn't do a chet. They shouldn't have died ever. Those four people, the first of those four people is Binyamin. Binyamin never did a chet. There's Amram, there's Yishai. So Binyamin never did a chet. It means Binyamin never turned to the left. He never went towards his left kidney, always to the yamin, to the right kidney. So Yaakov was calling him a name, Al Piruach HaKodesh, Al Shem Osid. He called him Binyamin, Ben Yamin. This is a person who will always be a Ben Yamin, always to the right. He will always be doing the right thing. The Pasuk, look at the first one now. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayokam Balayla, who he got up that night. Vayikach, he took Eshtei Nosh of his two wives. Veshtei Shev Chos of his two maidservants. Ves Achad Osi Elodov. And his 11 children. Rashi asked the Kasha, why does it say 11 children? What about his 12th child? What about Dina? Why doesn't Dina get a mention over here? So Rashi says, because Dina, he was scared Esav would see Dina. He would want to marry her. So he hid Dina in a box. And Rashi tells us, because of that, the whole Maisa with Shechem, the whole Maisa that happened afterwards with Dina, is because he didn't let Dina marry Esav, and maybe she could have been Makar of him. The Kasha is a Pella de Kikasha, that Esav is expected, Yaakov is expected to marry his daughter to Esav, to Esav Arasha. That's who he should take for his son-in-law. Everybody today, Shefi, last warning. Everybody today is looking for a son-in-law, the best bocha in Lakewood. Somebody once called Lakewood and said he wants to speak to the second best bocha. He's still waiting on the phone. That is what everybody wants. Best bocha in Lakewood. Nobody has a taina. Nobody says you should go and look for some rasha to marry. Nobody said to mitzvah marry a Bernie Madoff. Marry someone like that. Maybe you can be karavim. Nobody says something like that. Everybody wants the best bocha for their daughter. And here Yaakov is expected to marry his daughter to Esav. Not only that, we see Leah is looked at with great praise that she didn't want to marry Esav. Why isn't there a taina on her? You look in the Sifsei Chachomim, he says two pshatim. So the pshat over here we could say is, the Alter Mikkel, he said a lashon like this. He said, Yaakov was never expected to marry his daughter to Esav. But, Ehod Gedreit the Schlissel too stark. He turned the key with too much effort. Meaning, yes, he had a right to hide her. But when he did it, he should have done it with the krechts. He should have felt bad. Maybe she could have made him do tshuva. It should have bothered him. Nebuch, this is the situation we're in. He had to do it, yes, but it should have bothered him. And he didn't feel that way. That was the taina on him. Rav Shach said a different pshat. He said, it's true he didn't have to take Esav for his son-in-law. But every time you take action in something, you should think about it first. What did it start in both ways? He should have thought to himself, one side is, I don't want her to marry this Russia. On the other hand, maybe she could be Makar of him. He could have decided in the end, no, I'm not mukhiv to do that. It's not right to do that. But he should have thought about it. He didn't think about it. He did what was his gut reaction. Right away he put in the box without thinking, what is Ratzon Hashem? That was the taina on him. It's interesting that you see over here that Dina was expected to be Makar of Esav. The mother of Esav was one of the Emois. I would imagine that means that Rivka Imenu was more than Dina. She was one of the Emois. So if Rivka Imenu couldn't bring her son back on the Derech, how could you expect Dina to do it? Why is it a tain at all? It wasn't Shaykh for Dina. So I heard a pshat. You see from this, is more than a mother can do, a wife can do. So for some of you, there's still hope. Chazal say, Ezeu Isha Kshera. What's an Isha Kshera? Ha'oisar Itzoin Bala, who fulfills the will of her husband. You like pshat like that. And Isha Kshera, you like to tell your wife that. Who is an Isha Kshera? She fulfills the will of her husband. But there's another way you can understand it. Ezo Isha Kshera, who's an Isha Kshera? Her Oisa, who creates, who makes Ritzoyn Bala, who pushes him in the right direction. Look at Gimel, Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayoyimeshchem Elovi Ovelacher, Emtzochein Beineichem. Here you have Shechem saying, I want my son to marry your daughter. And Emsachin Beinechem, he talks with great derech eretz. Let's make a shidduch. Tell me what you want. His son just took her by force. They have her now in captivity. She's still there. So all of a sudden he talks of such menschlichkeit, such edelkeit. What's the pshat in it? Doesn't make any sense at all. Reb Shlomo Shvadron once said over that he was walking in the street and he sees a crowd of people on the side of the road. They're all looking at something. He wanted to see what they're looking at. He walked over and there he saw a huge... Mordechai, if you could leave, please. He saw a huge sewage pipe. And sitting in that sewage pipe was an Arab. And the sewage pipe had sewage all around it. The smell was unbearable. Just standing there to look was bothering people. But they had to see the sight. This Arab was sitting in the sewage pipe. He himself was covered in filth. And he's taking out his lunch and making it sandwiched together and putting it all together and eating there as if he was sitting in a 5-star hotel. And people just couldn't get over it. And now they saw somebody, he's sitting in filth, and he doesn't realize it. And he was thinking to himself, Rav Sholem, in life, we sit there sometimes, full of averas around us, full of tumma around us, and we don't even feel that tumma. We don't realize it, what we're sitting in the middle of. We think everything's normal. And somebody who's a godel would see us, he would look shocked. Over here you can have Shechem, who's just done one of the most disgusting acts a person could do. He kidnaps a young girl. And he thinks he's doing the right thing. He talks nicely, and let's do the shidduch, and speak sweetly, and please, and thank you, and what can we do for you? And he doesn't realize what he's doing at the same time. It's exactly also how the Nazis were. The Nazis could speak with the greatest manners. They had the greatest etiquette. Come across such nice people. And at the same time be doing the most mean and disgusting things. Chayas. That's really an insult to Chayas to say that. How the Nazis behaved. And a person can live with steerers and not get it at all. In yeshiva, a person can be so used coming late to davening. He doesn't realize what he's doing wrong even. He thinks it's normal to come late to davening. Come late to a seder. Disturb a rebbe. Talk in the middle. Turn around in the middle. Interrupt in the middle. And he thinks, I'm a great guy. I daven 3 times a day. I learn a little bit. And he doesn't realize he's sitting there with that sandwich in the middle of the filth. Have a good Shabbos.